This program is brought to you by Resonance 104.4 FM. If you like what you hear and want to support our work, please make a donation at fundraiser.resonance.fm.
Good afternoon, you're listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM and www.resonancefm.com on the net. And today's guest is Clive Graham. Good afternoon, Clive.
Oh, hi, William.
Clive Graham of Paradigm Discs and still a member of Morphogenesis.
Yeah, forever.
Still forever.
Oh, well.
It's a lifetime's commitment.
Who knows? I mean, the group doesn't really play, so...
That's an interesting concept, the group that doesn't play.
Yeah, so I'm still a member.
So
still okay. looking for a gig.
Are you? Is it so difficult? Why?
Well, we've never, ever really looked for gigs. They've just... we wait to be offered gigs, and that's not the way it works generally. Normally you have to ask. And the reason we don't really get offered gigs so often is just because it's historically been such a big group with all sorts of people coming along and playing. So, and with a regular core membership of like 4 or 5 people, and as soon as someone drops out, there's always at least one person wants to step in and play with us. So it's just like, and it's hard to say no. So it's always been a big group.
Right, okay.
Too big, but really. Too, you know.
Too big?
Yeah.
Well, 4 or 5, that's nothing.
Yeah.
I mean,
I know.
The key members are Michael Prime.
He hasn't played with us for many years now.
Okay.
But interesting that he's the first name on your lips. He's the star member.
Right, who doesn't play with you?
No, not. I don't know. I mean, it's funny because he recently put something on Facebook, which was a link to a YouTube clip of us playing in 1994, all those years ago at Conway Hall as part of. We played twice, I think, at Conway Hall. Once was the LMC Festival, and this one was from a festival called UK Electronica, I think it was called.
Right.
So.
And he's in Ireland now, I think.
Yeah, he lives off the coast of Ireland on an island,
right?
Called Cape Clear, I think it is. And it looks amazing. I mean, because he's basically a botanist and has been cultivating a big chunk of the island that is part of his gardens, which are open to the public, and you can go and visit. And it's full of exotics. And it really sort of picks up on the Gulf Stream because. It's in straight in line. It's the first bit of landfall for the Gulf Stream coming up from wherever, from the Caribbean almost. So it's quite easy to grow cacti and a lot of plants you might normally only see in hotter countries.
I think the last time you mentioned him to me, was he doing some sound aspect of plants or something? He was doing.
He's always had the idea, or certainly since I've known him, of amplifying plant sounds with bioactivity translators. There's now a whole lot of people that do this. Countless artists have gone in for this idea, but I still think that the sounds he gets, it's a different kind of synthesis, I guess. Once you've synthesized the sound, I guess you could put it through any level of harmonic treatment. But he leaves it quite brutal and I like it. I like it. It's more sort of a clinical sound.
Hmm.
Hard to describe, really, but a lot of space.
Right. Mm. Okay. So when was the last time he played with you as Morphogenesis?
It might have been in Paris. I can't rightly remember. Or possibly there was another festival that happened in Belgium. Maybe it was that one at the Crack Festival, spelled with two K's and no C. And that,
two K's and no C. I'm trying to
visualize
that
Dutch,
one.
It's a Dutch.
It's not three.
Double A.
Not three K's.
No, it's two K's.
It's Crack, K-R-A-K.
Yeah, double A actually. Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a
crack.
It's a Dutch word, and maybe it even means something. I'm not sure, but
yeah.
So that was a festival that happened in I can't remember where, but somewhere in the wilds of Belgium, small town.
Yeah. Okay. And so another member is Adam Bowman.
Yes.
Whose meteoric rise to fame has probably left you all in the dust now. He's everywhere, isn't he?
He's always been very busy, and he's sort of got there through sheer tenacity of just doing what he does without too much modification over the decades, but just persistence.
Yeah. Right.
Which is, it's an example of, you know, to me that this is the way forward as an artist, is just to keep going.
Yeah.
And you do it for yourself. And if somebody's paying attention, then so be it. And that's the way he's always been. I've always admired him for it. And he's had a little bit of notice recently. So some good sort of airplay, nice interviews here, there, and everywhere.
And appearing in movies.
The Peter Strickland?
Yes.
Appearing in movies just momentarily. It's just very, very briefly has these little cameos. But that's because Peter Strickland's a fan and a friend. And you know, they've worked together over the years on things.
Yeah.
Short films, pre-Peter Strickland. Now, there is a person who's had a large degree of success.
Yeah.
One of the few people I could say, you almost say, is a household name, people that I know. So. Hasn't quite got there yet.
I was going to say, it might be in your household, but I wouldn't call him a household name.
Who, Peter Strickland?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, those feature films, they've...
Yes,
he's
having a degree of success. It's true.
It's as near as I know to a household name, anyway.
So then there's you, Clive Graham.
In the band, yes.
Yeah, and that leaves the fourth one, who I'm afraid I can't remember.
Well,
I'm sorry.
There are various hangers on. There's definitely a fourth, which is Clive Hall, who plays piano.
Okay.
And prepared piano and small percussion. And would there be anybody else? Well, it depends. I mean, there are people who come and go and have been in the group.
Yeah.
And most recently, we've had John Wall. And when he plays, he tends to also bring along Mark Durgan, who's, he knows what we're about and has done for a very long time. So he fits in.
Is it possible to say what you are about in briefly, or is that impossible? It's a question of when you get together.
In a way, it's to summarise. It's kind of old school live electronics, but generally speaking, along with homemade sounds and unvirtuosic kind of playing. Although Clive plays piano very well, but once you start using the insides of instruments, it's sort of you don't have to know how to play it. So it's that sort of aspect of things. It's a free improvisation group.
Right.
Very much sort of semi reclusive, retired these days.
Right.
You know, I mean,
hermetic?
Maybe. I don't know.
Willfully obscure?
Not willfully. I really there was a whole period of time where I thought, why aren't we getting more success? I just couldn't understand why nobody knew who we were and we weren't getting any gigs, and I was quite bitter about it for a while.
I was just going to use the word bitter. I was going to say, are you bitter about this lack of exposure?
Not so much anymore, but at the time I just couldn't figure it out, because I thought we were good, actually, and it's an easy formula. That's one that that's the other thing, is I couldn't understand why there weren't lots of groups doing very similar things, and there never really have been, for some reason.
Right.
There's never been copycat type. Well, they wouldn't be copying us because they don't know us, but in terms of
right.
in terms of just groups that naturally fall upon the idea of a large group of people playing homemade stuff and bric-a-brac and electronics and that sort of thing.
Hmm.
And there haven't really been. There's lots of solo artists that do this sort of thing, but not in terms of the group dynamic. And I really like and miss the idea of being in a group, that fraternity. And especially back in the day before experimental music was so exposed and popular as it is now, back in the day when...
Was it a fraternity? I mean, does it preclude women?
It almost has done. Yeah, that we have had women play in the group, but it's been infrequent, to be honest. We've had vocalists, but never a permanent member.
Hmm.
It's a pretty blokish thing, isn't it? Really.
Right.
I mean, I can't think of any other similar groups. There's, the lineage of these things is groups like AMM and MEV. They've always been male.
Yeah.
I don't know why that should be, but I think if the group was to form now, it would be a totally different situation, because there are a lot more women involved in experimental music than there were back in the 90s, and certainly back in the 80s and earlier still. It was all extremely blokish, and a very blokish audience, and that's something that's really been exploded in the last sort of 15 years, something like that. It's really changed. I've noticed it.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps it's time to start a new group.
Yes.
Seeing as this one's dead and buried.
Oh, don't say that. You said you're going to stay with it for life, you said.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so apart from your activities as member of Morphogenesis, the non-existent group, you issue records under the label Paradigm Discs, and you have done for many years now.
Yeah, it's actually quite a long time. It's beginning to feel quite a stretch of time since the mid-90s, 95, I think, was the first one. But it's sort of become quite infrequent, maybe one thing a year, partly because a lot of titles take a long time to get together.
So what drew you into, how did you come to be the producer of a record label as opposed to being a musician or something? Or did you say, well, did the two go hand in hand?
They certainly do. I mean, there's plenty of people doing both things. In fact, that's the norm, I would say, with small labels, is they're, they're very often musicians.
Yeah.
But what was the other part of the question? How did I become?
You had to perhaps release your own stuff, publish your own stuff originally.
I just thought somewhere in the mid '90s that music, experimental music for me, had lost its way in many ways, and there were so many things in the archive that I thought could be issued, because that hadn't started yet. The big kind of reissue program that's been underway now for the last 10 years or so, that hadn't begun. And I thought, well, you know, I was more interested in things from the past than what I was hearing at the time. A lot of the stuff that was coming out, I just didn't really rate it that much. Or at least I thought, you know, at least I could compete with it. I could find things as good. Whereas before then, in the 80s, the music scene was just so incredible to my ears that I thought there was no way that I could run a label under these. You know, it's like I'm quite happy just being a listener of so much good stuff. But then by the 90s, I thought, yeah, I don't know, I can add to this. So I started putting out things.
Right. And how many albums do you have under your
belt?
This
one's
now?
Number 34.
So is it really?
Well, it's slow going. Oh. Yeah, it's slow going for what is like a quarter of a century. So it just takes time to do things.
And you did produce the 7 tapes.
Oh, yes.
I'm going to have to give that a play.
Now, that took a long time to do, didn't it? I mean, it did. Well, because, you know, you've got to get all the bits together for it and, you know, decide what you're going to do and, you know, get images. And it. Although that didn't, maybe we took longer than it could have been done a bit quicker, perhaps. It's like volume 2 is like already underway. And
well, I mean, if we set about, you know, if you said, right, for the next month, that's all we're going to do,
we could
all
do
day,
it.
Every day, you could do it, couldn't you? It's because it takes place sort of like one day every fortnight or something.
It could be done quite quickly, but we'd be ill-advised to do it.
Why?
Well, I mean, at the moment, I suppose it's just the logistics.
I thought the pressure was on from you to start doing number 2.
Yeah.
You were keen to do it.
Yeah, I am. And
but now it's gone backwards in the queue.
No, not really. There are other things I'm working on. The real issue is that it hasn't sold very well, and we'd have to find somewhere to store another badly selling title.
Well, you're so negative today.
It's just the truth of the matter. It really it just didn't sell that well.
That's true. I know.
And it didn't break through in America at all. I don't think they got it at all.
No. Dan Wilson keeps saying to me that he thinks it'll suddenly go viral.
Well,
he's an optimist.
I completely agree with him. It's the sort of thing that, you know, with the right exposure, people will just go, oh, my God. Because most people who've heard it really, really love it.
Yeah.
You know, in fact, almost, I don't think anyone's...
I can think of somebody. I can
think of an entire continent that doesn't like it. But apart from the Americans, it's gone down really well with British people and Europeans. They've really, really liked it and got it.
Yeah.
Not so in the States. Weirdly, because I always think that Adam Bowman's another similar case. I think, you know, this guy would go down a storm in America, but it's not proved to be the case from my perspective at all. You know, because there's a lot of spoken word I've released by Adam, and it doesn't sell at all in the States.
Right.
So I find it weird, because I just think in my mind they should lap it up, because it's just so distinctly British, as is Captain Maurice. It's like, and as such, is just so different to anything that's American.
But there you go.
Yeah. It hasn't, but I'm with Dan. It could easily catch a fire.
Yeah,
it could.
Yes. All right. Well, that brings us to today's featured album, which is your latest release by Amnon Raviv. Mm-hmm. Called Mirror.
Mm.
And this is also very typically, I'm trying to avoid the word eccentric, but I can't, you can't really, there is no other word. Is it idiosyncratic? What can we call it? Outsider-ish? Something or other?
Yes. I mean, I didn't think of those things at the time, but once I started working on it, I thought, in fact, it was during the Wire interview, that's when I really realised that, oh my God, I do release lots of outsider stuff. It's the simplest way of describing it, really.
Yeah.
And I hadn't really thought about it in quite those terms.
Hmm.
And I certainly don't want to be labelled that way, but a lot of the stuff I'm very passionate about doesn't fit any categories very easily.
Right. This one certainly doesn't.
No, I suppose.
That's for sure, isn't it?
I suppose not. Well, it's an experimental record, you know, and for me that was...
Yeah, but
and
I mean, there's a lot of experimental records about, but this one, I mean, when I first saw the LP cover and read the notes, I'm familiar with your output, but even I was quite sort of astounded by it as being out on its own, really, I think.
Okay.
You could give a resume. The most striking aspect, which I think we could come to later, is that apart from being a musician, he is also a sort of clown therapist.
Well, he is now. I mean, that's in recent times he's got himself a PhD in clown doctoring.
Right. Well, let's get onto that later.
Yeah.
That's a sort of a bit of a hook, isn't it? You know, clown doctoring.
I suppose
so. Let's talk about the music. So this LP is a reissue of something that was originally released in an edition of 50 copies only.
Yes.
In 1983.
Yes.
I mean, so why does anyone issue an LP in 50 copies, or is it just for their family and friends?
I think you do it just as a kind of an art object, like a multiple. You just do it as a, you know, you hadn't really wanted to sort of become a big, you know, musician or anything. I think he was much more engaged at the time in performance art and street performance.
Oh yeah,
clowning actually, because I think the big festival where there's some photos on the insert which are new to this release, that they're not on the original, where he's in Amsterdam at the Festival of Fools. So I think he was.
Where is that? Is that on the cover? Is that
yes, actually, yes. That's also from Amsterdam, yes.
Right.
So he's...
Festival of Fools, okay.
Yeah, so...
So he was a street performer.
Yes, and there's a certain degree of clowning involved.
Does this
that.
Reproduce the original LP cover?
No.
No, okay.
No, that's... The original LP cover was just in a piece of cartridge paper folded.
Right.
And then collaged on the cover. Each one was different. I had sort of bits of newspaper and envelopes and bus tickets.
Would he have handmade each cover?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, and handwritten. All the text is handwritten.
Right.
No two alike. And the labels are just white with black writing on as well.
And did you encounter it at the time?
I was given a copy of this by an Israeli. It's the only way you'd have ever got a copy. I mean... they didn't show up at Rough Trade, let's put it that. So, it was somebody that I knew at the time and who was a record fanatic, and he worked in a record shop in Tel Aviv, and he came to London somewhere about 94, 95, and he gave me this record as a present, you know, have one of these.
Right.
And so I'm really trying to think what my initial impression of the record was back then, because obviously to me it's a record I've owned for, you know, 2 decades or more.
Right.
And so it's very hard to remember what it was like when you first heard it. But
yeah.
I do remember, yes, it is quite an eccentric. I remember thinking...
So on that subject, you mentioned Tel Aviv. So Amnon Raviv, the composer, he lives in Israel?
Yes. He's living in the outskirts of Tel Aviv these days. And I don't know where he was living at the time. I know he became itinerant during the... mid-80s, just traveling from one festival to another and sort of being on the road with his partner. And so it's, you know, just sort of living the kind of wild life, I suppose.
But as a performance artist of sorts.
Yeah, street performance.
So
yeah.
His background is art. He trained as an artist, or do we
Good
not know?
Good question.
It?
I've only met him once in a Starbucks in London.
Right.
And we did cover a lot of ground, but I can't remember whether I sort of quizzed him and interviewed him on his background. But I would suspect, yes, he's probably got an arts background.
Okay. Will he be listening to this program, do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know because...
No, but so you've had communication with him. He knows it's going out on the air. He must know about the LP.
I just made a post on it.
Perhaps he could text you now and say, well, I trained as an artist or something, if he's listening.
He could probably ring in, couldn't he?
He could do. But he'd probably have your number, so he might phone you.
Anyway, hey, the resonance number's the one to ring. It would be good if he did. But maybe he's just going to pick up on this when I give him the link afterwards. You know, he's probably busy clowning in a hospital.
Essential work, yeah.
But okay. he doesn't just clown. He's also, I mean, it's become a thing now. So he actually teaches it and imparts the skills to other would-be clowns. He's not a solo clown any longer.
Right.
It's a global phenomenon.
Right, okay. Yeah. There was a sort of protest group, wasn't there? Were they called the Clown Army or something? Who are, you know, they activists?
Oh,
I think.
Okay.
So he's nothing to do with that. He is. Did he train as a clown?
No,
he's a self-taught clown.
I don't know.
Oh,
I don't know.
It doesn't matter. That's all right. That's okay.
This is the thing. I mean, I don't actually know enormous amounts about this record in many ways. You know, so I thought this would be tough to fill an hour, but I think we're doing quite well.
We're doing very well. But he's the composer. But we opened with a snatch of track one.
Yes,
about 3 minutes of a track, which is about 5 minutes long.
Yes,
there's a list of musicians.
Okay.
On here it says music by Amnon Raviv. And then guitar, Amnon Raviv and Baldi Ollier. A violin, which featured quite strongly in that. Oh, it's four violinists mentioned.
Four?
Two. Mm-hmm. Violin, Tony Brower and Mishka Lavka.
Mm-hmm.
Flute, Oded Yeni. Mm-hmm. Saxophone, Hovav Israel. And vocals, S.D. Pomerantz. And effects and other sounds, Amnon Raviv. So he's the composer, he writes scores and then these people perform it, or are they sort of an improvising?
I think he wrote. I can read this. I've got the insert here, and there's a little bit of an explanation which I got him to write because none of the tracks have titles on the original album.
Right.
And when I asked for titles, he said there are none, so they remain untitled. But I said, well, can you at least explain what the album is about? You know, because it's obviously Mirror. It's obviously got a conceptual level there somewhere. So Mirror is like just, in other words, reflection of, and it's really a reflection of him.
Right.
Which figures, I mean, you know, his performance is all about an extension. It's very bodily kind of corporeal performance.
Right.
So track one, let me just read from the beginning. In 1981, I started recording my first album, Mirror. The idea behind Mirror was to translate the reality, thoughts and feelings that I was experiencing at that time into music, sounds and noises. The first piece on the record deals with structure in a liquid, unstable environment. It's a bit... I can't open that. Anyway, I wrote the partitura for the guitar, which I played, violin Mishka Lavka, and flute Oded Yeni, and added the sound of bubbles underwater and a low human voice from a distance. So he's getting people... Yeah, so he's writing the notes, and then he's composing with the effects and electronics and bits and bobs, because there's quite... Yeah. You know, the actual, there's a lot of field recordings, electronics and effects added. In fact, they're pretty much to the fore, and the side two is even more the case. So there's some great playing on it, I think, and structure. But then there's a lot of it's also quite wild and improvised or electronic.
Yeah.
So it's got all those levels to it.
Is this the only album he released?
He's only solo album. He is in a group now,
right?
Called, and I've forgotten exactly the name, but they're I ought to know that. Something like Zarzar, T-S-A-R, T-S-A-R.
T-S-A-R.
I think if you look that up on Bandcamp, you'll get to the name of his current activity, which is with his son. It's much more structured, much more song and lively instrumental with him and his son playing guitars.
Right, right.
So he's still active as a musician as well.
Does he have a degree of success in Israel?
As a musician?
Or as anything?
As anything. Well, he's a professional clown doctor.
Right.
That's his job,
Right. Well, perhaps we should get into that now, then. Let's explain to the listeners what a clown doctor is.
Yeah. Okay, well...
I'd never heard of such a thing until I saw this album.
Yeah, no, I didn't know about it either. And I remember when I first decided to reissue this, and I thought, well, you know, just in my lazy way, I thought, well, I'll contact a few people I know in Israel. And one of the first people I wrote to was Ilan Volkov, the conductor and musician. It's just saying, you know, I'm trying to find out about this guy Amnon Raviv. Do you know who he is? Because Ilan's in contact with nearly everybody that's involved in music everywhere, never mind just in Israel. And he'd never heard of him. So, but he immediately got onto the case and started looking things up. And he sent me some YouTube files of interviews with Amnon, which I hadn't even got to yet. Mm-hmm. And within minutes, he was sending me these files of interviews with Amnon and him on the wards of Tel Aviv, cancer wards. And you would have thought maybe children he'd be dealing with, but no, it seems to be predominantly adults, actually. Right. And people who are undergoing sort of lengthy chemotherapy ordeals in these sort of grey, beeping kind of wards, which are, right. They're sterile in every sense of the word, and they're grey and boring. And Amnon had been visiting hospital. His mother died of cancer, and he just witnessed the circumstances of what the wards were like, and he just thought, what this place really needs is a bit of humor injected into it, you know, because it's just such an, you know, I mean, the whole process of cancer wards is so what's the word? It's just
bleak.
Well, it's bleak and
grim.
Yeah, well, all these things,
yes,
you know.
and more,
of course. So he just thought that there is a healing quality to laughter, and
right.
and just to perk you up and to smile. The whole thing of smiling, and that level of communication,
yeah.
which somehow gets zapped out of you when you're in a hospital. And he thought that, you know, if people are going to be here for any length of time, they really do need to have this side of their the therapy addressed.
Right.
And he went ahead and researched it deeply and wrote a PhD on it. And now he's...
The PhD, I know I'm asking you a lot to try and, you know, one would have to interview him, really.
Indeed.
But a PhD in what? The therapeutic effect of laughter and humor?
Yeah, I can't remember the title of the PhD, and I've not read it, but it's... Yeah, I don't have that information to hand.
Okay. But he did this research anyway.
Yeah.
In Israel.
Yeah. I mean, it got published as a book. I mean, I'm pretty sure I saw it on Amazon or something. You can buy it.
Right.
You can buy the thesis.
Right. Okay.
And he now sort of travels extensively, America and South Africa,
really?
And all over, sort of like giving talks at universities on, you know, his experiences and his skills as a clown doctor, how to do it, you know, what works, what doesn't.
Wow.
You know, all that. He's now an experienced, you know, practitioner of it.
Right.
And there's videos of him on YouTube. You can easily find them where he dresses up. He's colourful. You know, he brings this colour to the ward.
Yeah.
And he has the guitar. He's got an acoustic guitar.
Is it proven that it has had a beneficial effect? Or is it just does it just enliven people's lives for... I mean, I think there is one... there's another theory, isn't there? I mean, that elderly people benefit from... dogs, for example.
Exactly. Yeah.
There are sort of old people's homes where people bring a dog into the old people's home, and people can pat it and so on, and they feel better as a result
of
that.
They do that at universities to deal with stress around exam periods. They bring in a sort of like a small pack of dogs,
right.
come onto the campus, and you can just.
Well, I was thinking of
chill
one
out,
dog,
but
anyway.
well,
we didn't have to go into packs of dogs. Anyway. You sort of up the ante a bit there, you know. Sort of.
Well, with a whole student body, and they do. They you know, the dogs. They probably get absolutely sick to death of it because there's a queue of people waiting to pet them.
It's the most bizarre. Working on me already. Okay. People queuing up to pat the dog. Yeah
to sort of, right. you know, kind of do whatever people do with dogs.
Yes.
Ruffle their ears and, you know, all the rest of it.
Okay. So So is Amnon Raviv sort of perhaps the world's leading authority on this subject, or is there a whole school of this, of thinking?
I don't know if anyone's done it prior to him and that he got the idea from another person. This is another thing I don't know.
Okay. Oh, fair enough. That's all right.
Just stick to the music, will you? Shall we? Keep it simple.
Yeah. No, but it is an intriguing concept.
It is.
Do you think you'd benefit from it?
It's hard to know because I haven't been on a ward for any length of time to know just how dreary and horrific and, you know, depressing it can be to sort of, or to routinely have to come in for therapy.
Yeah.
And sit on, you know, by these machines and, you know.
Does he perform? Is it a one-on-one thing? Does he perform to people one at a time, or does he perform to the ward?
He goes from one bay to another and, you know.
And tries to make someone laugh.
Yeah.
You can imagine some people taking against it quite bad. I can imagine some people saying, get him out of here.
That's right.
I'm being a bit cynical.
I think there are definitely, you can't do that with all patients. It depends on the level of the illness and at what stage you are of recovery as to whether you want this at all. Obviously, it's up to the individual if they want it. I would imagine it's selective patients.
Right, yes.
That enjoy that experience and want dialogue and want to sing, because he does sing songs. He doesn't just, he's a kind of, isn't it just an entertainer of sorts? And there's the labels.
The vinyl record itself includes a label. I mean, all your records are very nicely designed, it has to be said.
Okay, thank you.
And the record itself has the... What do we call this bit in the...
They're just called the labels.
The label on the record circular. Itself.
Yeah.
And there's two illustrations of him sort of performing within these hospital wards.
Yes.
In one, I would say he does look sort of... There's a distinctly sort of transgender look to him.
Yeah, what, because he's got a dress on?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is that fair enough? Or have I put my foot in it there?
I don't know.
He's got a dress on and a sort of...
I think this is part of the clown's apparel.
Well, exactly. But, there might be that element to it. I don't know. And he's holding a guitar and he looks like a jolly guy. He's waving. He's got a hat on and an outfit. On the other side, he's sort of prancing a bit, isn't he? He looks less transgender there. I don't know.
I don't think he looks transgender at all.
You don't think so?
No, I mean... I thought he was just playing with it, I think. Because clowns dress up in all sorts of things. I think that's just a one-off. Perhaps I hadn't thought of it in those terms. Because there's lots of photos of him in different... Although he does quite often wear the dress.
Right. Okay. Yeah, well, we can leave it at that. He wears a dress. That's fine.
Yeah.
Have you witnessed his performance?
No.
No.
What, in Starbucks? he was wearing those glasses where one lens is round and the other one is square.
Oh, right.
So that's a little clownish.
I've actually got a pair of glasses where one, they're oval shaped, and one is horizontal and the other is upright. And I wore them once to an auction and somebody just stared at me in disbelief. They were called... The glasses are called eccentric.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's by the way.
Yeah.
So that's odd glasses.
Odd glasses.
So you haven't actually seen him perform. So he hasn't made you laugh. Does he make you laugh in person?
He's an amusing chap. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I did
immediately connect with him. It's always that fearful moment when you meet an artist that you're dealing with in one way or another, and you've no idea if you're going to.
Some people have a fear of clowns, don't they?
Well, I think I would if I.
Right.
Okay. You can't see them. They got those massive, like the Ronald McDonald smile.
Yeah.
It's like that.
I mean, some people find it quite sinister.
I don't like masks generally.
Right.
You know, I'd much rather, you know, see the true expression beneath it.
Yeah. Well, do you think verbal wit perhaps is more? Might be more kind of alleviating or something.
Yeah.
Conversation that... Anyway, but that's by the way. Let's
have a tune.
Yes, okay.
What time have we got? My goodness.
Yeah.
Can we skip along to...
We can. I have to say... My favourite track.
What's your favourite track?
My favourite track was... there's one side has three tracks... four tracks, in fact.
Yes.
I liked track four.
Yes. It's certainly the oddest with the different speed laughter. Let's have track four.
Yeah.
That's his partner.
Actually, I'm having trouble with this thing, actually.
You see,
it's not finding the tracks. Oh, that's mine. That's all right. It's okay. Keep talking. Talk.
Well, I haven't got. I'm exhausted from talking.
Are you okay?
Track four.
We've got it here.
Okay, let's hear it.
Ha ha ha!
It's a lot of chickens.
Yes. Well, you're listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM. Today's guest is Clive Graham, and we're talking about his latest release by Amnon Raviv called Mirror. And Amnon Raviv is also a medical clown, is that what you call him?
Yeah.
A medical clown from Tel Aviv.
Yeah. I can fill out some of the information that I didn't know the answers to earlier. But there's a website, first of all, let me give that out, which links to his medical clowning activities, and that's the usual starts. And then it's Amnon R-V-I-V, all one word. So it's Amnon Raviv without the A, dot Wix site, WIXSITE.com. / medical clowning, one word, and I've got even got his contact details here if people are so curious to drop him a line. Mm-hmm. His email address is yamtoot@gmail.com, and yamtoot is yamtoot. And also, yes, to fill out the information, the band, I continue to work as an interdisciplinary artist and recently released two albums by Zaza Yarouk or Yarok, in collaboration with his son, Yam Raviv, and their Bandcamp address is zarzar.bandcamp.com.
How's Zarzar spelled?
T-S-A-R.
Okay, like a Tsar, yeah.
Yeah. And then it says, in 2016, I became the first practitioner to earn a PhD in medical clowning and currently work as a clown doctor at medical centres and give lectures at universities around the world. So there you go. That's the bit that I wrote on the sleeve about it.
Right.
Or rather that he sent in anyway.
So on that track we had Chickens, Slowed Down Laughter, Voices. And then he'd done all of this in 1983, which is long before, which is sort of a long time before he took up clowning, as it were, or perhaps not.
I don't know what happened in those interim years.
No.
It was a long career doing something or other, I'm sure, but I don't know what. Yeah. I don't know how long he did the street performance things for.
Okay. And the label photos, which we mentioned, they are taken in the Rabin Medical Center.
On the label?
Yeah. Which I presume is in Tel Aviv.
Yes, I believe.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
And your record is an edition of 300.
500.
Oh, 500, sorry. 500 numbered copies.
Mm-hmm.
Available where? From you.
You always ask this.
I know. Well, it's a reasonable question. Somebody might want to buy the record.
I know they sold out Forced Exposure, but they haven't reordered, so that's a dead end.
How many did they take?
75.
What? Oh, see, that's good.
And they sold them all.
Crikey.
In a month or so. I don't know how or why. They certainly can't do that with the Captain Seddon.
No. That was going to be my next question. How many did
they sell? I think they sold 30. Right. I think, if anything, they're trickling back. Terrible.
What do you mean trickling back?
Shops take them on spec, and
if they don't sell.
If they've got no customers for it, then it comes back. You know?
Right. So you mean the Seddon one is trickling back?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah. Okay.
So far, this one's stayed.
Yeah.
It's not coming back, which is good. But I have to. It's a funny thing. I printed 500. I had delivered. A box was short, so I got 475.
Right.
And then I sent 25 to Israel, and they didn't get to Israel.
Oh.
So 25 went missing there. And then I gave one to The Wire, whenever it was in early June, and that went missing as well. So it's got something. It's slightly jinxed, this one.
Oh no! Don't say that. No. You know what day it is today, don't you?
Yeah. Are you superstitious?
Everyone's a little bit, aren't they? Everyone's got a little bit of a pet sort of something they will or won't do.
Yeah, but my superstitions aren't anybody else's. I have different things.
Oh, is that right?
I don't have anything.
You have your own personal superstitions.
Well, of course. Well, I think they should be personalised. You know, you have your own. Yeah.
Can you give me an example?
No, of course not. Why? I wouldn't, even if I could bring one to memory. I can't think.
You have personal superstitions. I've never heard that before.
Oh, God, of course. That's what's deep in our psyche. Yeah. This idea that Friday the 13th is for everybody. Where does it even come from?
Yes, I'm not sure about the Friday bit. I mean, 13 is supposed to be an unlucky number, isn't it? So, I don't know.
Unlucky numbers.
Oh, no.
What, to everybody, to each and every human?
Well, exactly. That's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. Mm. It doesn't make any sense.
No.
Not to me, anyway. I prefer to have my own hierarchies.
Are you into numerology?
I have been. Not currently.
What was the turning point? What turned you away from numbers?
Well, I mean, you know, it's just you can get into I don't know. I mean, it's just I did explore it for a bit. Like, you go through all sorts of phases of one thing and another, and there was I did have a Kabbalistic thing going on at a certain point, you know, sort of tracking certain numbers. But
tracking them in what way?
Well, just, you know, things that are in your mind, things that you meditate on, and then you see them everywhere, and this sort of, you know.
Oh, yes.
All the hocus pocus that goes with the Kabbalah. Yeah.
Right.
But I'm glad to say I've rinsed that out.
You ignore it now, or you just think, to hell with it, Tom?
Pretty much. I think, you know, you can have your own. This is heavy stuff, isn't it, we're getting into all of a sudden?
It might be. I don't know.
It's so personalised to even mention it, you know, even off air to friends. You kind of, you know, you're putting stuff out, aren't you? Sort of.
Right.
You know, you spoil the kind of potency that things
Well, we've
might
already
have.
Got a bit of a mix, because we've got Friday the 13th. Mm. You mentioning the Kabbalah and the fact that Amnon Raviv is in
Israel.
Tel Aviv and so on. We've got something sort of
There's a link.
Here. Yes.
There is a link. Let's leave it at that. don't dig deeper on my numbers and which ones I like and which ones I don't like. Let's not go there.
No.
They're personal and they should remain so, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. No, that's fine. All right. So we could play out with another track, perhaps. Do you want to say any more about the?
Do I want to say anything else
about these?
What have I not said? Well, I haven't said anything about future plans, which is okay. Because there are several and they're all unformed. But suffice to say, I'm continuing.
Yeah.
There will be another release. God knows when.
Right.
And
it'd
be great to come back and do a show.
You give
that.
Thanks to various people on the album here.
Yes.
There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people mentioned. Do you want to sort of say some hello to them or something? Tell us, Jim Pennington is mentioned.
Jim Pennington. Yeah.
Publisher.
Well, I'd like to say thanks to all these people. Joseph Kapolovich for initially giving me the LP as a gift back in the 90s. Sharon Gal did the translations.
From
I can't read Hebrew, so she translated things for me, so I knew what was being played and that kind of thing. She did that for me. Ilan Volkov for digging out the information on YouTube. Jim Pennington, always there to give me advice on printing.
Right.
And oversaw the insert and got me a good printer in Camden Town. And Simon Lucas, who's just... he's there for all technical support.
Oh. You know,
it's just a very gifted computer, especially Apple Mac systems. So if anything goes wrong or I need software or whatever, he's my go-to.
Oh, right.
Man. And he's an old hand at Resonance as well. He used to be very involved in the initial kind of setup of the Resonance website, and he's known.
Right.
The higher ups of Resonance will know him well.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So all good eggs, and that people, you know, I need Jim and Simon, you know, on a permanent basis. They get credited on quite a few records. Mm. And in fact, I'll be working with Jim on another William Burroughs record, which is in the offing, but not quite in the can.
Right.
Although,
is this an unreleased William Burroughs tracks or something, or what is that?
Now that's where I'm hesitant to tell what I am doing.
Oh, okay.
Because the idea thieves are thick and fast out there in radio land, so I won't say what it is.
Hmm.
But some of it's previously unreleased, and other things, half of it's unreleased, and half of it's a very old piece that was released.
Right.
So that's great news. Well, in actual fact, it's harmless mentioning it, really, because, you know, you have to get the okay from the Burroughs estate, and they've already given me that. So it's just a case of firming it all up.
Right.
So that'll be a good one to do.
So you did one called Curse Go Back, didn't you? Was that the last one?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. It's great to do a second William Burroughs.
Yeah. I bet that sells well, doesn't it?
It did, yeah. Not many people do more than one.
Hmm.
It's like what Burrow said, you can only call the doctor once. Make sure you ring him for the right reasons.
Make sure it's a clown doctor.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, another link.
So
to do two Burroughs records is quite rare. The only other label I can think of that did more than one was the Giorno Poetry Systems.
Oh, yeah.
And their compilations. So I'm totally honoured. If we can get the second one out, it'll be like, yeah, excellent.
Okay. All right, Clive Graham of Paradigm Discs, who's been talking today about his latest release. It's called Mirror by Amnon Raviv, who's a medical clown as well as being a musician. Should we play out with a track, Clive?
Track five is what we're going for here. And that's the phone on the floor.
Okay.
Piece five, starter side two, expresses the overwhelming irritation and stimulus of life. It starts with flamenco guitar, which is a superb piece. We'll probably just hear that, given the time.
Yeah.
Played by Baldi Olier, and also a saxophone played by Hovav Israel, with sound effects planned in collaboration with David Luria, the sound engineer.
Great. All right. Thank you very much for coming in, Clive.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This program has been brought to you by Resonance 104.4 FM. If you liked what you heard and want to support our work, please make a donation at fundraiser.resonance.fm.